This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Lesson number 30, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 221-228.
وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. And do not marry polytheistic women until they have believed. In the verses that follow, commands about family life, such as marriage and divorce, and the personal relationship, the intimate relationship between a husband and wife, are mentioned. They are detailed. Islam places great importance on family life, especially the relationship between the husband and wife, because a family is the basic unit of the society. If the family is okay, if the family is proper, if the relationship between the husband and wife is okay, then the rest of the society is also going to be okay. The islah of the family means the islah of the society. And the fasad of the family means fasad of the entire society. We see that marriage in Islam is not just about enjoyment. It's not just about fulfillment of one's physical desires or attaining some temporary benefit and then moving on. No. When a man and woman come together, there are certain duties and responsibilities that are laid upon both. Why? Because both the husband and wife are to live together in the same house, and there has to be peace and harmony between the two. Therefore, certain responsibilities have been placed upon both the husband and wife so that the family can live in peace, and by large the society can also be peaceful. And this is why we have been given clear guidelines regarding marriage, especially about choosing the spouse. For example, a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ explains to us that تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعُ. A woman is chosen for marriage for four reasons: لِمَالِهَا, for her wealth; وَلِحَسَبِهَا, for her social status; وَلِجَمَالِهَا, for her beauty; وَلِدِينِهَا, and for her religion. فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. So marry the religious woman, may your hands be filled with sand. So a woman could be married for different reasons, but what is the best reason, what is the most important reason why a woman should be chosen? Because of her religion. Because the more religious, the more obedient a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more careful he or she will be towards fulfilling his obligations, the duties, and the rights of the other. And remember that this hadith does not just apply to when searching for a wife, but it also applies when searching for a husband. We see that many times we have a very fairy tale image of marriage. Happily ever after. And the happily ever after can only be possible when both are on the same page, when both share their values, when both share their principles, and both give the rights of each other. So this is why the command has been given over here that وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. Do not marry polytheistic women until they believe. Because a person who does not have deen or iman, who does not have faith, then a Muslim, a believer, should not marry them. He should choose the person who has iman. So let's look at these verses. La tankihu. La over here is for prohibition. So it's a prohibition. You, O Muslims, are not allowed. لا تنكحو, do not marry. You're prohibited from marrying. The word تنكحو is from the root letters نون, كاف, ح, from the word نكاح. And نكاح means to marry. It is marriage. Literally, نكاح means الضم. It means to unite two things together, to join, to collect two things together. This is the literal meaning of the word نكاح. And the word نكاح, it actually means jima', it actually means sexual intercourse. This is the literal meaning of the word nikah. But then the word is also used for the aqd of nikah, the marriage contract. Why? Because only if two people are married are they allowed to have sexual intercourse. So the word nikah actually means jima', it actually means sexual intercourse, but it is also used for aqd nikah. It is also used for the marriage contract. What is the marriage contract? The marriage contract is a legal contract that is between a man and the guardian of a woman. Who is this contract between? Not the man and woman. Okay? Remember that. It is a contract between the man, meaning the husband, and the wife's guardian. And it is this contract through which both become halal for each other. Both become halal for each other, meaning they may live together, there is no veil between them, they become libas for each other, as we have learned earlier, that a husband and wife are libas for each other. So لا تنكحوا, do not marry, meaning O Muslim men, do not marry who? المشركات, mushrik women. The word mushrikat is the plural of mushrikah, and mushrikah is the feminine of mushrik. And who is mushrik? One who does shirk. So mushrikat, women who do shirk. So don't marry women who do shirk, the polytheistic women. Now what does the word shirk mean? Shirk is from the root letters Shin, Ra, Kaf. And shirk is to associate partners with Allah, either in worship, that a person worships others besides Allah, along with Allah, or instead of Allah, or in different ways. As we have studied earlier, inshallah, you will study more details in Aqidah, that shirk is to associate partners with Allah, either in his ubudiyah, in ibadah, in uluhiyah, considering someone else to be ilah, in rububiyah, considering or believing someone else as the creator, or in the names and attributes of Allah. So who is a mushrik person? Mushrik person is one who associates partners with Allah. And the word mushrik is also used for those who don't believe in any revealed religion. It is also a term that is used for who? Those people who don't believe in any revealed religion. What is a revealed religion? Islam. And the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, people changed it. Some changed it into Judaism, others changed it into Christianity. So mushrik is a term basically that is used for other than Muslims, Christians, and Jews. It is a term that is used for who? Other than Muslims, Christians, and Jews, by large. And there are other exceptions, such as Sabians, the Mandaeans, the Sabi'un that we learned earlier. However, mainly it's Muslims, Christians, and Jews. Other than them are who? Mushrik. Now, the question is that if you look at it, the Jews or the Christians, they also do shirk, isn't it? For example, the Christians, they believe in Isa alayhi salam. They worship him. They consider him to be God. They consider him to be son of God. Similarly, we learned about the Yahud. Some of them said Uzayd is a son of Allah. So what is that? Shirk. So yes, the people of the book, they do commit shirk. However, the rules concerning the people of the book are slightly different, which is why the term mushrik does not apply to them. For them, the word kitabi or ahlul kitab is used. Mushrik is like someone from the people of Makkah in the time of ignorance, someone who worships idols. Okay? Similarly, if there is a person who claims to be a Muslim, who is a Muslim, but as we know that with all the innovations that are very prevalent in the Muslims, if there is someone who is involved in some sort of shirk, we're not going to give the label mushrik to him. We're going to say that yes, he commits shirk, but we're not going to give the label mushrik to him. Okay? So لا تنكحوا المشركات, do not marry mushrik women, حتى يؤمن, until they believe. Notice the word yu'min. There's a shadda on the noon, isn't there? this shadda on the noon, what does a shadda on a letter mean? That there are two letters, right? So the first letter is of the root. What's the root? Hamza mim noon, iman. The second noon is of feminine. I want you to notice this over here, because a lot of words are going to come which are going to have this noon at the end, which indicate feminine plural. Yu'minu means they believe. Yu'minna means the women believe. So this noon at the end indicates feminine, and it's called noon niswa. So لا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن. Do not marry them until they believe. Why? Because if a person does so, if a person marries a mushrik woman, if a man marries a mushrik woman, then what's going to happen? He is only going to do one of two things. What are they? That first of all, he is going to compromise his religion. Either he is going to compromise his religion, his values, so that the relationship can work. For example, if the mushrik wife wishes to go to the temple, what is he going to do? He's going to have to drive her there. Maybe he's going to go participate with her. Maybe he's going to have to go with her. Similarly, if she wishes to have some idols in her house for worship, he's going to have to allow that. So either he's going to end up compromising his religion, his values, so that the relationship can work, or because of the differences, there would be a constant strife, a constant clash between the husband and wife, which will not allow a healthy relationship, which will not promote a healthy relationship. Why? Because Tawheed and Shirk, Islam and Kufr, they're completely different, just as a night and day, just as the East and West, they're completely different. They cannot be the same. They cannot coexist. They cannot be the same. A person cannot have shirk and Islam together. So a mushrik and a Muslim cannot be married together. Why? Because they're completely different. And because they're completely different, either they will have to compromise their faith in order for them to coexist, or they will have to live with constant strife, with constant fights and differences, which will make their life very difficult. And we know that marriage is a source of sukoon. Marriage is what brings comfort and peace to a person. And if marriage is what is making his life very difficult, then what's the purpose of that marriage? So we see that when it comes to aqidah, when it comes to belief, when it comes to values, when it comes to faith, then both the man and woman have to be at the same page. They have to be the same. Why? Because other differences can be ignored. For example, differences in language, differences in culture, differences in preference of different foods or different colors or different styles or different things, they can be ignored. Why? Because they change over time. And a person can live without them. But religion is a part of a person. Faith is a part of a person. What did we learn iman is? Iman is what is in the heart. It is proven by the actions as well, and the tongue. So what is in the heart is going to come out in the actions. If the actions are going to contradict, then how can two people live together? How can there be harmony between the two? So لا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن. Do not marry the mushrik women until they believe. And if a person compromises his deen, he says, okay, fine, I love this person, I cannot live without her, doesn't matter, I will stop going to the masjid, or I will let her raise them however she wants, not as Muslims, but however she wants. Okay, what's going to happen? He's going to lose his dunya and his akhirah. And even if he does enjoy in the dunya, in the hereafter, their relationship is going to cut off from the moment of death. And they're going to be enemies to each other in the hereafter. So do not marry them until and unless they believe. So we see here that the prohibition of marrying polytheists is clearly given. It's clearly prohibited. It's clearly forbidden to marry someone who is mushrik, unless, of course, if they believe. And if they don't believe, then what does Allah say? وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ. And surely a slave woman, she is خَيْرٌ, she is much better مِن مُشْرِكَةٍ than a polytheistic woman. A slave believing woman is much better than a mushrik woman. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. Even if she pleased you, who pleased you? The mushrik woman pleased you. The word amah is from the root letters hamza mim waw, and amah is the feminine of abd. Who is an abd? A slave. An abd is used for a male slave, and the word amah is used for a female slave. And others say that the word amah is not just used for a slave woman, but it is used for woman, whether she is free or not. Just as you may have heard of the name amatullah. What does it mean? Slave of Allah. Does it mean that she's actually a slave? No, she's free, but at the same time she's a slave of Allah, just as any other person is a slave of Allah. So, some say that amatu mu'minatun means believing slave woman, and others say that amatun mu'minatun means just believing woman, whether she's free or not, whether she's a slave or not. So, the believing woman, she is much better than a mushrika. Mushrika is a singular of mushrikat. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ is from the root letters عَيْن جِيم بَ. We did the word يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ. The word, the statement of a particular person, it pleases you. So, أَعْجَبَ يُعْجِبُ is to please, to amaze, to arouse feelings of attraction and likeness in someone. And basically, irjab is to attract someone to the level of amazement. To attract someone to the level of amazement. That they're not just attracted, but they're amazed. They're excited. They're pleased. They're very impressed. And irjab can be done through any way. It can be done through words. It can be done through statements. That, for example, somebody talks and you're very amazed, you're very impressed by their speech, and you like them because of the way that they talk. Similarly, it could be because of a person's money, that you're just amazed by the money that a person has, and you like them because they're very rich, they give you good gifts. Similarly, it could be because of a person's beauty, that they're very beautiful, they're very handsome, very beautiful, very pretty. And it's their beauty that attracts you. It's their beauty that makes you like them. So over here Allah says that the slave woman or believing woman, she is much better than a mushrik woman, even if you love the mushrik woman. No matter how much the mushrik woman attracts you, no matter how much you like her, no matter how much you're impressed by her, no matter how much you admire her, because of her wealth, because of her beauty, because of her family, because of her education, because of her anything whatsoever, no matter how much you like her, no matter how ideal she may seem, but still, do not marry her. So we see over here that the best quality that a person can have is iman. The best quality that a person can have is iman. Therefore, iman is to be given preference. Because even if a person is a slave, she's uneducated, she doesn't have any wealth, she doesn't have any status, she's maybe very poor, she's maybe not that fun, she doesn't have that much experience, you cannot relate with her mentally on the same level. But because she has iman, she is much better than the mushrik woman who may have many other qualities that you're impressed by. So the best quality that a person can have is iman. Therefore, the quality of iman is going to be given preference over any other quality. We learn from a hadith in Sahih Muslim in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ." The life of this world is but a delight. It's a temporary enjoyment. It's a delight. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. And the best of the delights of this earthly life is a righteous woman, is a righteous wife. So the woman who has iman, the woman who is righteous, even if she lacks worldly status, even if she lacks beauty, even if she lacks education, even if she lacks anything of this dunya, still she is the best mata' that a person can have. Why? Because she has iman. Because she worships her Rabb. Because she is loyal to her Rabb. And if she is loyal to her Rabb, she will be loyal to you. So the slave woman, because she's a believer, she's much better. Therefore, give her preference. Then Allah says, وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and do not give in marriage the polytheistic men. Notice the word تُنْكِحُ. It has a dhamma on the ta. The word that we read previously was لَا تَنْكِحُ with a fatha on the ta. And there is a difference between the two. لَا تَنْكِحُ means do not marry. لَا تُنْكِحُ means do not give in marriage. Do not give in marriage. Do not get someone married. So over here, the address is to the guardians of the Muslim women. The address is to the guardians of the Muslim women. Because as we learned earlier, that nikah is a marriage contract between who? The man and the wali, the guardian of the woman. Because a woman cannot just go marry herself. It's her wali who will marry her off to a particular person. So over here now Allah addresses the men. He addresses the awliya of the women. That you should not give your Muslim women in marriage to who? To the mushrikeen men. So you understand the difference? First the address was to the men. You, O Muslim men, should not marry mushrik women. Now the address is to the men, meaning the awliya of the women, that do not give your Muslim women in marriage to who? To the mushrik men. Mushrikeen, as you know, is the plural of mushrik. Hatta yu'minu, until they have believed. Previously the word was yu'min, because it was about mushrikat. Now it is yu'minu, because it is about mushrikeen. Until they believe. So we see that the guardians are being addressed. The parents are being told, do not give your women, do not give your daughters in marriage to those people who do shirk. Do not give in marriage who? Your daughters to those people who do shirk. So we see that a man can do his own nikah, but a woman cannot do her own nikah. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا نِكَاحَ إِلَّا بِوَلِي. There is no nikah except with a wali. There is no nikah except with a wali. So the awliya are being told, do not give your own daughters in marriage to the mushrik men. Hatta yu'minu, until they believe. So of course, once they believe, then don't have an ego problem. Once they have become Muslim, then give your daughters in marriage to them. Many times it happens that a person who was a non-believer before, he converts to Islam. And just because he's a convert, what do people do? They don't prefer to marry them. Or they don't prefer to give their daughters in marriage to them. Why? Because they were previously non-believers. But what does Allah say? حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا, until they believe. Once they have believed, then there should be no problem. They're believers. No ego problem. وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ, and surely a slave man. Which slave man? The one who is a mu'min, the one who believes. He is khayrun, he is much better min mushrikin, than a polytheist man. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ, even if he pleases you. Even if you like the mushrik man, even if you think that he is ideal for your daughter because he's educated, because he has worldly status, because he has money, still give your daughter in marriage to who? To the one who has deen. Because the one who has iman has value. And the one who does not have iman does not have value. And if a person does give in marriage his own daughter to a mushrik man, it is as if he is throwing his own daughter into fire. Because what does the ayah say? أولئك يدعون إلى النار. These people, who does أولئك refer to? The mushrik men and women. They call you to the fire. So if you marry them, if you marry your own child to them, then it is as though you have thrown your own daughter into the fire. And we see that a marriage that is contracted between a mushrik person and a believer is not considered nikah. It is not valid in Islam. Between who? A Muslim and a mushrik. It is not nikah. It is zina. It is a life of zina, not of marriage. Because over here, clearly the prohibition has been given. لا تنكحوا لا تنكحوا حتى يؤمن حتى يؤمنوا. Condition is of iman. Because أولئك يدعون إلى النار. These people, they call to the fire. What does it mean by they call to the fire? Do they verbally call to the fire? Do they verbally invite to the fire? No. They say, come marry me, we'll live a happy life. I love you, you love me, that's it. We'll be happy forever. So how is it that they're calling to the fire? How is it that they're calling to the fire? They're calling to that which will take you to fire. They're calling you to shirk, which will take you to fire. Because it is not possible that a man and woman are married and they don't influence each other. It's not possible. They influence each other, they affect each other, they affect each other's actions, they affect each other's personalities. So it's not possible that you live with him or her and you don't get influenced by shirk. The shirk doesn't affect you. It's not possible. So they invite you to fire, they invite you to that which will lead you to fire. And also, when a person marries a mushrik, obviously what is he going to do? He's going to compromise on his deen. When he compromises on deen, what's going to happen? He's going away from the deen. He's going to end up disobeying Allah, which will result in the hellfire. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah invites to paradise. Allah calls all of you to Jannah. How? Through the Quran. وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ. And also the forgiveness. Meaning he invites you to forgiveness. بِإِذْنِهِ. By his permission. So when Allah commands you to marry those people who believe only, then he is calling you to what? He is calling you to Jannah. He is calling you to forgiveness. How? Because when you marry a believer, then that believer is going to help you in deen. That believer is going to make you successful in deen. That believer is going to help you practice your deen. Which is why preference should be given to deen and not anything else. We see that when a husband and wife are together upon the deen, they support each other. They wake each other up for salah. They remind each other of salah. They remind each other of praying to Allah. They remind each other of reciting the Quran. So they help each other live a righteous life. As I mentioned the hadith to you, that this dunya is a matar, and the best matar that a person can have is a righteous wife. Why? A righteous companion. Because he is going to help you, she is going to help you remain on your deen. We learn from a hadith that is in Musnad Ahmad, that may Allah bless the man who gets up during the night to pray. May Allah bless that man who wakes up during the night to pray, and he wakes up his wife. And if she refuses to get up, he sprinkles water on her face. And may Allah bless the woman who gets up during the night to pray and wakes up her husband, and if he refuses, sprinkles water on his face. Why? Because both are helping each other obey Allah. Both are helping each other worship Allah. If you think of it, if it's a mushrik person, it's a person who's not in deen, and if you sprinkle water on their face, how are they going to react? And if you try to wake up during the night to pray, are they going to let you? Probably not. They won't be happy. So Allah invites to Jannah, to Maghfirah. How? By telling you to marry only those people who believe. Let's listen to the verse.
ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمنن ولأمة مؤمنة خير من مشركة ولو أعجبتكم ولا تنكحوا المشركين حتى يؤمنوا ولعبد مؤمن خير من مشرك ولو أعجبكم أولئك يدعون إلى النار والله يدعو إلى الجنة والمغفرة بإذنه ويبين آياته للناس لعلهم يتذكرون.
So the ayah ends with وَيُبَيِّنُ آيَاتِهِ, and he clearly explains his ayat, meaning his commands, for who? لِلنَّاسِ, for the people. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ, so that they remember. يَتَذَكَّرُونَ is from ذِكْر. And what does ذِكْر mean? To remember or to mention something. And تَذَكُّر means to remember a lesson. What does it mean? To remember a lesson that a person has taken and not forget it. Also, تَذَكُّر is to accept a reminder, to take a lesson, to accept a reminder that is given to a person. So Allah mentions His commands to you, He explains them clearly over here, so that you can accept them. Notice how the reason is given behind not marrying mushrik people. And what is that? That they will call you to fire. You will end up in fire if you live with them. As for marrying mushrik men and women, we know that a Muslim man is not allowed to marry a mushrik woman, and a Muslim woman is not allowed to marry a mushrik man. Both the Muslim man and woman are forbidden from marrying a mushrik person. But as for the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, there is some permissibility. And what is that? That a Muslim man can marry a woman from the people of the book. But a Muslim woman cannot marry a man from the people of the book. What's the evidence for that? The ayah in the Quran. It's stated in the Quran clearly that the muhsanat, the chaste women from among the people of the book, are permissible for Muslim men to marry. Now the question may arise, why is it that a Muslim woman cannot marry someone from the people of the book? Why? Because man is the boss. He's the qawwam. And he's going to affect her. He is going to affect the children. And at the end of the day, it's his decision that is implemented. If you think of it, a Muslim man believes in the messengers of the Jews and Christians. So if he marries a woman from the Ahlul Kitab, he is going to respect her faith. He is going to respect her messengers. But on the other hand, if a Muslim woman who believes in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries a person who does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he going to respect her faith? No, not necessarily. Women are generally more emotional, weaker compared to men, and they submit. They just want to please their husband, and many times they will sacrifice, and sometimes it may go up to the point of sacrificing their religion. وَيُبَيِّنُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And remember that Christian or Jewish women, the condition for them is muhsanat. Muhsanat is chaste. And why is the contract between a man and the woman's guardian? For the protection of the woman. That she's not alone. There's somebody with her. Because many times what happens? That a person would go marry a woman and he would cheat her. He would not give the mahr to her. But she has some male relatives behind who are going to make sure that she's treated properly. Okay? So it's for her own protection. We see that there are many commands in Islam that apparently seem against women, but they are in fact for the protection of the woman. And inshallah, the next command that we're going to study, that is also for the protection of women. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ, and they ask you, meaning the Sahaba, the companions, They asked the Prophet ﷺ, about what? عن المحيض, about menstruation. They asked the Prophet ﷺ about menstruation. Why? Because there is no haya, there is no shyness when it comes to the matters of religion, when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we should be decent, we should be appropriate, but if these issues, we're not clear about them, then it can affect our ibadah. So therefore, they asked the Prophet ﷺ about menstruation. The word mahil is from the root letters ha, ya, bad. And the word mahil is understood in two ways. First of all, mahil is understood as a masdar. Remember the word masdar? The main word from which other words are derived? Just as sabr, kufr, iman. So, mahil is a masdar, and mahil means menstruation. Period. And it is from the root letters ha yal bad, and others say ha wal bad, which literally means to flow. And if you look at it, the menstrual blood, it begins to flow and it ends without the control of the woman. Other things that excrete it from the body, a person does have control over it. He can delay it, he has some control over it. But as for menstrual blood, a woman does not have any control over its flow, over its beginning and over its ending. So hayd, to flow, because it flows by itself and it ceases by itself. It starts and stops by itself. So mahid is menstruation, the blood that flows out of a woman in specific days by itself, and it is of certain characteristics. It is of specific characteristics as well. Secondly, the word mahil is understood as ism zarf. What does it mean by that? A noun that describes the place or time of an action. Just as the word mashriq, what does that mean? The place or time of rising of the sun. Maghrib, the place or time of setting of the sun. So similarly, mahil is the place or time of hayd. It is the place or time of menstrual blood flow. This is what mahil is. Just as the word mabit is the place of spending the night, maqil is the place of qaylula. Likewise, mahil is the place or time of hayd. As for the time, it is the time when a woman is having her period, and as for the place, it refers to the vagina. So yas'alunaka 'anil mahid. They ask you about mahid. Now what was this question? This question is not a medical one or an obstetric one, but rather it is about the limits of sexual contact, the limits of sexual intercourse while a woman is menstruating. That to what extent is sexual contact allowed with a woman while she is on her period? To what extent is it permissible? Now, why did the Sahaba ask this question? We see that the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they were upon extremes regarding this issue. The Jews, on one hand, completely stayed away from even physically contacting or touching their women while they were menstruating. They were literally stay away. They would not share the same bed. They would not eat from the same food. They would not eat the food that she had prepared. They would not drink the water that she would offer. So the Jews were on one extreme completely. That when a woman is menstruating, she is like an untouchable. And till today, in some societies, this is actually practiced. And on the other hand, there's another extreme. We learned that the Christians, they considered that everything was permissible, even sexual intercourse with a woman was permissible while she was menstruating. Now this question may seem a bit awkward and a bit direct. And such issues are mentioned in the Quran. Why? because they are about our day-to-day life. They are about our personal issues. Just as eating and drinking, we need to know what we can eat, what we cannot eat, what we can drink, what we cannot drink, how we can earn our money, how we cannot earn our money. Similarly, this issue is a major part of a person's life. And he should be clear about what is permissible and what is not permissible. And this is the book of Allah. It is a sacred book where the words of the Quran are sacred. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these issues in the Quran. Why? Because they are very important in our daily lives. We should be very clear about these issues in our daily lives. And remember that when it comes to these issues, there is absolutely no haya. Obviously, a person should remain in the realms of decency. He should speak with decency. He should not become obscene. But it is important to learn and teach about these issues, because Allah does not shy away from the truth. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that how good are the women of the Ansar. Shyness does not prevent them from understanding their religion properly. Shyness does not prevent them from understanding their religion properly. So when we read these following verses, yes, these topics, we do not discuss them in our gatherings, especially in public gatherings. And in fact, we should not, because we should have haya. However, when it comes to learning about these issues, we should learn about them, we should talk about them, but obviously with appropriateness, with haya. So yas'alunaka 'anil mahid. Qul, say, meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them that huwa adha. It is an adha. What is an adha? Huwa refers to mahid. And what were the two meanings of mahid? Either the menstruation or the place or time of menstruation. That is an adha. It is an ailment. It is a harm. The word adha is from the root letters hamza, val, ya. And adha is every harm or pain that is suffered by a living creature. What is it? Any harm, any pain that is suffered by a living creature. Whether this pain is physical, emotional, mental, whatever pain it is. If you hit the table, it's not going to feel anything. It's not going to get hurt, even if it breaks, even if it gets burnt. But if you hit an animal, if you hit a person, if you hit a bird, it's going to get hurt. Physically, and also perhaps otherwise. So, adha is used for any pain, any suffering that is suffered by who? A living being. And the word adha is also used for a slight harm or a slight injury or trouble. It's not like hitting someone so hard that they get a bruise. No, that's not what an adha is. Adha is a very slight one. So, qul huwa adha. Say that it is an adha. Meaning menstruation, the time of menstruation, is a time in which a woman is suffering from adha. She is suffering from pain. She is closer to sickness than she is to health. And we see that a woman, while she is menstruating, she's not just physically suffering, but she is also low spiritually or emotionally. Sometimes women just want to cry for no reason. Sometimes they become very sensitive. You say the slightest thing to them and they start answering back. They start becoming very reactive. They become very irritable. So, قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. It is an adha. Now the question is, who is this menstruation an adha for? It is for the woman, but it is also for the man. It is for the woman how? That she undergoes some physical changes, emotional changes, she suffers from PMS, so it is an adha for her. And for some women, it's very extreme, it's extremely painful for them, so it's an adha for the woman. And if we take mahid to be the place of hayd, meaning the vagina, so sexual intercourse during this time is extremely painful for the woman. This is what the meaning is then. And adha, it is also an adha for who? For the man. How is it an adha for the man that he is living with the woman, and when she suffers from PMS, when she has her period, when she has her menstruation, then he has to take her anger and her frustration and her irritation. So قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. Say that it is an adha. So we see over here that the men are being told to understand the state of the woman while she is menstruating. And don't say, why are you reacting like this? And why can't you be normal? Because she is suffering from adha. فَاعْتَزِلُوا. Therefore, keep away from who? From النِّسَاء, from the women. When? فِي الْمَحِيضِ, during the menstruation. فَاعْتَزِلُوا is from عَيْن زَاي لَام. And عَزَلَ is to keep away from something. What is it? To keep away from something. The word مُعْتَزِلَ, you may have heard of that. It is also from the same root, because they are away. We learned that Wasil bin Atta, who was, you can say, the founder of Mu'tazila, when he differed in his opinion, it was said that i'tazala, meaning he has deviated, he has left us, he has kept away from us. So azala means to keep away from something. I'tizal is to separate or to keep oneself away from something. So i'tazilu, keep away from who? From an-nisa. When? Fil mahid, during the menstruation. What does it mean by this? Keep away from them. Over here, i'tizal means keep away from sexual intercourse. Keep away, stay away from sexual intercourse, from the sexual organ, while the woman is menstruating. It doesn't mean that you separate your beds, you separate your houses, but what it means is that you cannot have sexual intercourse while she is menstruating. We learn that Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she said that Allah's Messenger used to ask me to wash his hair while I was having my period. He would lay on my lap and read the Quran while I was having my period. It is also reported in the Sahih Bukhari that Aisha radhiyallahu anha said that while having the period, I used to eat from a piece of meat and give it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would eat from the same place I ate from. I used to have sips of a drink and would then give the cup to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would place his mouth where I placed my mouth. So فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ does not mean don't touch them, stay away from them. No. What it means is stay away from sexual intercourse. And mahid over here is understood as stay away from the maqam, the place of the hayd, meaning stay away from the contact with the vagina, which is why everything else is permissible. Sexual contact is permissible, but sexual intercourse is not allowed when a woman is menstruating. Which is why we learn from hadith that isna'u kulla shay'in illa nikah, do everything, anything except sexual intercourse. So فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ, meaning keep away from the sexual organ, keep away from the vagina, and everything else is permissible. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ, and do not approach them, do not go near them. And by going near them, it doesn't mean go near them physically, but what it means is do not have sexual intercourse with them. حَتَّى until يَطْهُرْنَ, they have become clean. Now again, you see يَطْهُرْنَ ends with the noon. What does that indicate? Feminine, طُهُر. And يَطْهُرْنَ is from طُهُر, طَهَرَ, طَهَرَ. What does it mean? Cleanliness. So don't approach them, meaning don't have sexual intercourse with them until they have become clean. What does it mean by this, they have become clean? Meaning they have become clean from the flow of menstrual blood. Meaning the bleeding stops completely. The period comes to an end. انقطاع الدم, it refers to the cessation of blood. There is no more blood flow. No more spotting. Completely clear. فَإِذَا, then when? تَطَهَّرْنَ, they have attained purity. فَأْتُوهُنَّ Then come to them مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ From where Allah has commanded you. فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا تَطَهَّرْنَا is from طَهَرَا as well. But we see that two different words have been used. One is يَطَهُرْنَا and the other is تَطَهَّرْنَا. If you compare the two, تَطَهَّرْنَا has a شَدَّة on the ha. Right? So it's giving an additional meaning. And what does that mean? تَطَهُّر is to obtain purification. What does it mean? To obtain purification. To purify oneself. To clean oneself. To wash oneself. So, حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَا means until the blood has stopped. And فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا means that after the cessation of the blood flow, when they have purified themselves by taking the ghusl. Remember, there are two separate things. One is that the blood flow stops. The other is that the blood flow stops and the woman takes a ghusl and then she completely purifies herself so that she's in a state that she will pray salah now. So once they have attained the purity, once they have taken the bath, then فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ Then come to them from where Allah has ordained you, meaning then you may have sexual intercourse with them if you wish. But it will only be when after the woman has purified herself. And when does a woman purify herself? Once the blood flow stops. Remember that. You cannot just say that I'm tired of my period, so I'm just going to go take a shower and I'm going to start praying. No. A woman cannot do that. Once the blood flow stops, then she takes a shower, she cleans herself, she washes herself, and then she becomes clean. فَأْتُوهُنَّ then come to them. And فَأْتُوهُنَّ is from Hamza Taya. أَتَيَأْتِي means to come. So come to them, meaning approach them, have sexual intercourse with them. From where? مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمْرَكُمُ اللَّهِ From where Allah has commanded you. حَيْثُ is also ism zarf, and it is used to refer to time or place. It is used to refer to what? Time or place. So what is that place that Allah has commanded for a man and woman to have intercourse at? It's the vagina and not anywhere else. So فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ meaning a person may only approach his wife, a person may only have sexual intercourse with her in the place which Allah has permitted. And that place is the vagina. And that time is the time of tuhur. It cannot be done while she's menstruating, and it cannot be done at any other place. So we see over here that the only permissible way of sexual intercourse is in the vagina and not anywhere else. So to approach a woman from her back, anal intercourse, that is completely forbidden. Because it is contrary to مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ We learn from a hadith that is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi that لا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ Allah will not even look at who? إِلَى رَجُلٍ to a man who? أَتَى رَجُلًا أَوِمْرَأَةً فِي الدُّبُرِ A man who had anal sex with another man or a woman. So we see that the only permissible way is one way. It is that one place, the place that Allah has commanded, the place from where the menstrual blood comes. Because the Sahaba asked about if sexual intercourse was allowed in Hayd. What was the response that they were given? Stay away from the women while they're menstruating, meaning do not have sexual intercourse with them. If anal sex was allowed, they would have been told, do whatever else you wish. But what were they told? فَعْتَزِلُوا Keep away from sexual intercourse. So anal intercourse, anal sex is completely forbidden because it's against مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ And according to the majority of scholars, even oral sex is forbidden because it is against مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ The only permissible way is the vagina. And not anywhere else. مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those people who repent. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And He loves those who purify themselves. Look at the ayah ends. Allah loves those people who repent, and Allah loves those people who purify themselves. The word tawabin is a plural of tawab. Who is tawab? One who does tawbah again and again. As soon as he finds out this is wrong, he stops doing that. So, what does it mean by tawabin over here? This is understood in the general sense. Those people who do tawbah from their sins, Allah loves them. And in the specific sense, from the haram sexual acts, from the haram ways of fulfilling sexual desire. When they do tawbah, Allah loves them. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Mutatahirin is the plural of mutatahir. And who is mutatahir? One who obtains purity. Mutatahir is from tatahharna. What was tatahharna? They obtain purity, they purify themselves. So those who purify themselves, Allah loves them. Who are these people who purify themselves? This is understood in different ways. First of all, it is said that for the women, once their period ends, once the blood flow stops, and when they clean themselves, what are they doing? They're purifying themselves. So those people who purify themselves, the women who clean themselves, Allah loves them. Secondly, it has been said that al-mutatahirin refers to that those who, after sexual intercourse, what do? They take a ghusl. Allah loves those people. And this is done how? Through water, primarily. Thirdly, it is said that mutatahirin refers to those people who purify themselves, meaning who stay away from the filth, from the uncleanliness of other wrong acts and ways of fulfilling sexual desires, such as anal sex or other incorrect ways. يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. He loves those people who clean themselves. So we see in this ayah that clearly sexual intercourse during menstruation is forbidden. And otherwise, sexual intercourse is only permissible where? مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. From where Allah has commanded. The only place that is permissible is where Allah has commanded. And if you look at the way the ayah ends, Allah loves those people who purify themselves. If you think of it, if a person is having anal sex, he is doing what? He is approaching a place of impurity. He is approaching a place from where defecation is excreted. That is not cleanliness. That is not purification. A person who stays away from these things, he is the one who is beloved to Allah. And we see that in this, the women are being protected. Just imagine, if everything and anything was permissible, who would suffer? The woman would suffer. Imagine if sexual intercourse was permitted when a woman had her period. I mean, some women, because of the cramps, they cannot even move. They feel dizzy. They're so hurt. They're suffering from so much pain. And imagine if it was permissible. How much pain would a woman go through? So in this is a protection of the rights of the woman. And also we see that the people of Lut a.s., what were they indulged in? What was their problem? Homosexuality. And how did that begin? Through anal sex. That when the men did that with their women, they realized, oh, we can also do that with our men. So they moved on from their women to their men. And this way, what happens? The women, their right is not being given. They are being deprived of their right. They are being harassed. They are being used in a wrong way. So Allah loves those people who are clean. Allah loves those people who do tawbah. We also see over here that two actions have been mentioned through which a person can obtain the love of Allah, through which a person can strive to gain the love of Allah. And what are those two things? What are those two actions? Tawbah and tahara. Tawbah, repentance, and cleanliness. So the next time that you take a shower, next time that you do wudu, next time that you clean your face, next time that you clean your hair or your nose or your ears or anything like that, What should you think? I'm doing this for Allah because Allah likes me to be clean. Many times we do it just as a chore. Really, some people take it as a chore. Doing wudu is so difficult. Or sometimes they do it, why? For the purpose of beautifying themselves, so that they can gain other people's appreciation. But the fact is that if a person changes his niyyah, my Allah wants me to be clean. He likes it when I'm clean. So if a person does that, then even this act becomes an act of worship. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ.
We see that the way Allah has guided us, the way Allah has guided people as to how to fulfill their sexual desire is also a way that is very clean. It is a way that is clean. And any other way that is unclean, approaching the place from where filth and impurities are excreted, or doing anything that is incorrect, that is impure, that is unclean, all of those ways are forbidden. Allah is tayyib, and He likes that which is tayyib. Allah loves those people who purify themselves.